The processional hymn 545, Sing of Eve and Sing of Adam. Welcome to our service on this third Sunday after Trinity, also observed as Father's Day. Father's Day may not have the same religious or general profile as Mothering Sunday, but nonetheless, it is an opportunity to honor the men who have loved, guided, protected, and encouraged us throughout our lives. And while we celebrate fathers, we also recognize grandfathers, stepfathers, foster fathers, spiritual leaders, coaches, teachers, and mentors who have made a lasting impact through their wisdom, sacrifice, and faith. We follow the order of Holy Communion, beginning with the opening greeting on page 201. Grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. If anyone is in Christ, there is a new creation. Everything old has passed away. See, everything has become new. Almighty God, to whom all hearts are open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hidden, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name, through Christ our Lord. Amen. Hear what our Lord Jesus Christ says. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and great commandment, and the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments depend all the law and the prophets. God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, Jesus Christ, to save us from our sins, to intercede for us in heaven, and to bring us to eternal life. Let us then confess our sins in penitence and faith, firmly resolved to keep God's commandments and to live in love and peace. Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, we have sinned in thought and word and deed, and in what we have left undone. We are truly sorry, and we humbly repent. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us and forgive us, that we may walk in newness of life, to the glory of your name. Amen. Almighty God, who forgives all who truly repent, have mercy on you, pardon and deliver you from all your sins, confirm and strengthen you in all goodness, and keep you in eternal life, through Jesus Christ, our Lord.
Peace to God's people on earth. Lord God, heavenly King, almighty God and Father, we worship you, we give you thanks, we praise you for your glory. Lord Jesus Christ, only Son of the Father, Father, receive our prayer. For you alone are the Holy One, you alone are the Lord, you alone are the Most High, Jesus Christ with the Holy Spirit in the glory of God the Father.
Almighty God, you have broken the tyranny of sin and have sent the Spirit of your Son into our hearts, whereby we call you Father. Give us grace to dedicate our freedom to your service, that we and all creation may be brought to the glorious liberty of the children of God, through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.
The Old Testament reading is from the book Genesis, chapter 21, beginning at verse 8. The child grew and was weaned, and Abraham made a great feast on the day that Isaac was weaned. But Sarah saw the son of Hagar, the Egyptian, whom she had borne to Abraham, playing with her son Isaac. So she said to Abraham, "Cast out this slave woman with her son, for the son of this slave woman shall not inherit along with my son Isaac." The matter was very distressing to Abraham on account of his son. But God said to Abraham, "Do not be distressed because of the boy and because of your slave woman. Whatever Sarah says to you, do as she tells you, for it is through Isaac that offspring shall be named after you. As for the son of the slave woman, I will make a nation of him also, because he is your offspring." So Abraham rose early in the morning and took bread and a skin of water and gave it to Hagar, putting it on her shoulder along with the child, and sent her away. And she departed and wandered about in the wilderness of Beersheba. When the water in the skin was gone, she cast the child under one of the bushes. Then she went and sat down opposite him, a good way off, about the distance of a bow shot. For she said, "Do not let me look on the death of the child." And as she sat opposite him, she lifted up her voice and wept. And God heard the voice of the boy, and the angel of God called to Hagar from heaven and said to her, "What troubles you, Hagar? Do not be afraid, for God has heard the voice of the boy where he is. Come, lift up the boy and hold him fast with your hand, for I will make a great nation of him." Then God opened her eyes, and she saw a well of water. She went and filled the skin with water and gave the boy a drink. God was with the boy, and he grew up. He lived in the wilderness and became an expert with the bow. He lived in the wilderness of Paran, and his mother got a wife for him from the land of Egypt. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The epistle is from St. Paul's letter to the Romans, chapter 6, beginning at verse 1. What then are we to say? Should we continue in sin in order that grace may abound? By no means. How can we who died to sin go on living in it? Do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? Therefore, we have been buried with him by baptism into death, so that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, so we too might walk in newness of life. For we have been united with him in a death like his. We will certainly be united with him in a resurrection like his. We know that our old self was crucified with him so that the body of sin might be destroyed and we might no longer be enslaved to sin. For whoever has died is freed from sin. But if we have died with Christ, we believe that we will also live with him. We know that Christ, being raised from the dead, will never die again. Death no longer has dominion over him. The death he died to sin once for all. But the life he lives to God. So you also must consider yourselves dead to sin and alive in God in Jesus Christ. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. The gradual hymn 403, Bread of the World, in Mercy Broken. Hear the Gospel of our Savior Christ according to St. Matthew, chapter 10, beginning at verse 24.
Glory to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
A disciple is not above the teacher, nor a slave above the master. It is enough for the disciple to be like the teacher, and the slave like the master. If they have called the master of the house Beelzebub, how much more will they malign those of his household? So have no fear of them, for nothing is covered up that will not be uncovered, and nothing secret that will not become known. What I say to you in the dark, tell in the light, and what you hear whispered, proclaim from the housetops. Do not fear those who kill the body but cannot kill the soul. Rather, fear him who can destroy both soul and body in hell. Are not two sparrows sold for a penny? Yet not one of them will fall to the ground unperceived by your Father. And even the hairs of your head are all counted. So do not be afraid. You are more value than many sparrows. Everyone, therefore, who acknowledges me before others, I also will acknowledge before my Father in heaven. But whoever denies me before others, I also will deny before my Father in heaven. Do not think that I have come to bring peace to the earth. I have not come to bring peace, but a sword, for I have come to set a man against his father, and a daughter against her mother, and a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. And one's foes will be members of one's own household. Whoever loves father and mother more than me is not worthy of me. Whoever loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And whoever does not take up the cross and follow me is not worthy of me. Those who find their life will lose it, and those who lose their life for my sake will find it. This is the gospel of the Lord. May the words of my mouth and the thoughts of each one of our hearts be now and always acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer.
verse from today's Gospel, St. Matthew chapter 10, verse 34. Do not think that I have come to bring peace to the earth. I have not come to bring peace, but a sword. How seriously do we take our faith? How much does what we believe matter to us? What things are there that would make us say, this is where I stand, and I am not moving? What do you think about our thoughts and our discipline and our action? Sometimes, perhaps, we are too casual. Sometimes we simply do not bother with thinking or discipline or action. Jesus would be unimpressed with us. His teaching this morning makes this point very forcibly. If we are to live life in his way, then it's not meant to be easy. Do not think that I have come to bring peace to the earth. I have not come to bring peace, but a sword, he says in chapter 10 of the Gospel according to Matthew. Jesus is setting forth in very plain terms that there can be no place for fuzzy thinking or for a lack of discipline or for actions that do not match the words that people speak. Jesus does not accept laziness or half-heartedness amongst his people. He knows that when people set out to follow him, it means making decisions that will divide them from others. It means making choices about your own life that other people will not like and that may arouse resentment. These are not things that are sought. These are things that come as a result of the decisions that are made as a result of being a Christian. The church has gone a long way from the principles that Jesus sets out. We have drifted to the extent that few people take the church seriously. What does the church do? When does the church do any hard thinking about the world in which we live? What is the business of the parish, a reflection of the serious concerns of the world outside? When do church members show a discipline that would mark them out as people who are different? When is the way we live our lives shaped by the thought that we must act according to what we say we believe? Anglicans are possibly not given to a good observance of the rigors of thinking, disciplined behavior, and actions that reflect our words. How does the faith, I wonder, how the faith and life of a typical Anglican contrasts with the life and faith of, say, a typical Muslim? On one occasion, I remember an Islamic scholar at a seminar being aware that the fasting month of Ramadan had fallen at the worst possible time for Muslims in this part of the world. It is not the lack of food that is a problem at the moment. It is the lack of fluid. He said, last year I had to issue a fatwa to my students, instructing them to take water during the day because they would otherwise not perform well in their examinations. I had never known previously that Ramadan demanded abstention from water as well as food during the hours of daylight. I had never realized how demanding Ramadan was when it fell during the month of June. It's not just in academic life that there is such discipline. Here in Northern Ireland, I remember at one stage a Pakistani professional cricketer who played for a local cricket club. And in the rural community concerned, he was in a minority of one as a Muslim. Yet he still stuck to the discipline and prayers he would have followed at home. His faith was something that separated him from the local community. He followed a different diet, he did not drink, he prayed at different times and in a way that seemed odd to the local people. His religion was something that divided him from the people around him. But his faith was such that what he believed was more important to him than what the people amongst whom he lived might think of him. Jesus is regarded as a great prophet by Muslims. They would never take his name in vain. I think most of them would have considerably greater understanding of what Jesus is saying than perhaps we have. Serious thinking and discipline and action are built into their lives. They would understand that faith means commitment and sacrifice. It was that sort of life and discipline that Jesus looks for in us, a willingness to put faith first, a willingness to be different from the world about us, a willingness to accept that people might not like us for being different, that they might resent feeling challenged. Jesus is not presenting this as an option. He is saying that either we do these things or we can count ourselves out of the church. But whoever denies me before others, I also will deny before my Father in heaven, he declares. Jesus' words run directly against the thinking of the world in which we live. Jesus asks for serious thinking if our faith is the most important thing in our lives. Then it cannot be approached without careful thought, without rigorous discipline, and without considered actions. The world will take Christians as seriously as they take themselves. The people whom we meet will take us seriously as we take ourselves. Do not suppose that I have come to bring peace to the earth. I did not come to bring peace, but a sword. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. On page 205, we affirm our faith
in the words of the Nicene Creed. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven, was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary, and was made man. For our sake he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day he rose again, in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son is worshipped and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy, Catholic, and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins, and we look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. Let us pray. Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, hear the prayers which we ask you in faith. Thank you for the men who lead their families and communities with integrity and compassion. Grant them wisdom in every decision they make and guide their steps according to your will. Help them seek your direction in both the big and small moments of life, trusting that you will lead them faithfully. Lord, in your mercy, Lord, we pray for fathers, grandfathers, and mentors who carry many responsibilities. When challenges arise, fill them with courage and perseverance. Strengthen them when they feel weary and remind them that they never walk alone because you are always with them. Lord, in your mercy, Father God, thank you for the men who modeled faith, kindness, and character for the next generation. May their words encourage their actions, inspire, and their lives reflect your love. Help them leave a legacy that points others towards Christ. Lord, in your mercy. Lord, help the men we honor today to lead with patience, understanding, and grace. We pray for Charles, our King, and all others in public service. teach them to love deeply, listen carefully, and serve selflessly. May their home, relationships, and communities be strengthened by the compassion that they show to others. Lord, in your mercy. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the lasting influence of fathers, grandfathers, and mentors who invest in future generations. Bless their efforts, multiply their impact, and allow the seeds that they have planted to bear fruit for years to come. May their faith and example continue to inspire those who follow after them. Lord, in your mercy. And we pray for all those who are sick or are recovering from sickness at home or in hospital. Lord, in your mercy. Accept our prayers through Jesus Christ our Lord, who taught us to pray, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. We do not presume. This your table, merciful Lord, trusting in our own righteousness, but in your manifold and great mercies. So much as to gather up the crumbs under your table. But you are the same Lord, whose nature is always to have mercy. Grant us therefore, gracious Lord, so to eat the flesh of your dear Son, Jesus Christ, and to drink his blood, that our sinful bodies may be made clean by his body, and our souls washed through his most precious blood, and that we may evermore dwell in him, and he in us. Amen. We stand. Christ is our peace. He has reconciled us to God in one body by the cross. We meet in his name and share his peace. The peace of the Lord be always with you. Give the Lord the glory due to his name. Enter his courts with an offering. The offertory hymn from Thanks and Praise, number 93. Lord, we have come at your own invitation. Yours is Christ our Passover has been sacrificed for us. We follow the Second Communion prayer on page 212, and at the appropriate time, the words of the Holy, Holy, Holy may be found in the inset at the back of the prayer book. Let us pray. The Lord is here. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. All glory and honor, thanks and praise be given to you at all times and in all places. Lord, Holy Father, true and living God, through Jesus Christ our Lord. For he is your eternal word, through whom you have created all things from the beginning and formed us in your own image. From the middle of page 214, therefore, with angels and archangels, and with all the company of heaven, we proclaim your great and glorious name, forever praising you and singing. Heavenly Father, we thank you for these gifts of your creation, this bread and this wine. And we pray that we who eat and drink them in the fellowship of the Holy Spirit, in obedience to our Savior Christ, in remembrance of his death and passion, may be partakers of his body and blood. Who in the night that he was betrayed took bread, and when he had given you thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take, eat, this is my body which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." After supper, he took the cup and again, giving you thanks, he gave it to his disciples, saying, "Drink this, all of you, for this is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." Father, with this bread and this cup, we do as our Savior has commanded. We celebrate the redemption he has won for us. We proclaim his perfect sacrifice made once for all upon the cross, his mighty resurrection and glorious ascension, and we look for his coming to fulfill all things according to your will. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. Renew us by your Holy Spirit. Unite us in the body of your Son, and bring us with all your people into the joy of your eternal kingdom. Through Jesus Christ, by the power of the Holy Spirit, we worship you, Father Almighty, in songs of never-ending praise. Blessing and honor and glory and power are yours forever and ever. Amen. The bread which we break is a sharing in the body of Christ. Draw near with faith. Receive the body of our Lord Jesus Christ, which he gave for you, and his blood, which he shed for you. Remember that he died for you, and feed on him in your hearts by faith, with thanksgiving. Amen. O God, whose beauty is beyond our imagining, and whose power we cannot comprehend, give us a glimpse of your glory on earth, but shield us from knowing more than we can bear, until we may look upon you without fear, through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Almighty God, we thank you for feeding us with the spiritual food of the body and blood of your Son, Jesus Christ. Through him we offer you our souls and bodies to be a living sacrifice. Send us out in the power of your Spirit to live and work to your praise and glory. Amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in the knowledge and love of God and of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be with you and remain with you always. Items for the combined July and August Parish Magazine are due today, please, and may be given to myself or Roger Maxwell. The Mothers Union and Friends outing to Fernhill Cottage Gardens, which is postponed from last Thursday on account of inclement weather, will now take place on tomorrow evening, Monday. Those attending are asked to meet at the parochial hall here in Annahilt at 10 minutes past 6. And if those going, please would, if they haven't done so already, confirm with Susan Wilson that they are attending. Sunday next, the fourth Sunday after Trinity, morning prayer at 10 o'clock, and at 3:30, there will be a service of evening prayer, which will be attended by Lega Curry, LOL 164. The preacher will be the Reverend Mark Hawthorne, minister of Lega Curry Presbyterian Church, and all are welcome. The recessional hymn on the sheet provided, Eternal Father, Lord of Life.
Unbroken in all our words and works to
Go in peace to love and serve the Lord.